going to talk about the subject of intimacy. Now, I don't blame you if I get a lot of amens. I don't expect a lot of amens. In fact, I don't expect anybody to just come flooding down at the altars. This subject is a tough subject to talk about, but it's needful. It's needful for my life. It's needful for your life, so that we can know and be aware of the dangers of intimacy outside of God's will. And so here in the book of Proverbs, chapter 5 through 7, I want to look at tonight the three areas. I want to look at three different areas of intimacy. And I want you just to, I want you to look at your life. Look at where maybe your marriage is. Look at where maybe your life is. And in his book, Principles of the Path, Andy Stanley talks about the path. And what he says about the path is he says that everybody is headed down a certain path. Some folks are headed down the straight and narrow. They're on the path of God's will that leads straight into God's will. But some folks, he says, take a detour on their path. Some folks are headed down a path of destruction. Some folks are headed down a path of divorce. Some folks are headed down a path of alcoholism and drug addiction. Many people are headed down. Whatever your path is tonight, you have an opportunity, you have a chance to detour back on, to get your life back on course and on path towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we want to try to accomplish tonight. You look at your life, I'm going to look at my life. This is needful for us both. We need this in our lives because there is a devil out there who is seeking whom he may devour as a roaring lion, wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your life. He wants to destroy your testimony. And if you are not standing guard, he will accomplish what he wants. And so tonight, stick with me as we talk about the subject about intimacy outside of God's will. Now, the three areas of intimacy that I want to talk about is, first of all, the area that talks about intimacy outside God's will is eventually disappointing. Intimacy outside God's will is eventually disappointing. Now, look at with me in chapter 5. Now, we're going to read verses 1 through 6. And through each chapter, we won't go through we'll actually cover the whole chapter, but we won't read the whole chapter. And so we've picked out some key verses through this time. And so here in chapter 5, verse 1 through 6, follow with me if you will. Now understand this before I read, that this book right here, this book of Proverbs, it was written by King Solomon, one of the most wealthiest men in his day, one of the most intelligent men, had full of wisdom, asked God for one thing. That one thing was wisdom alone. And so he asked God of wisdom, and so this book of Proverbs is filled with wisdom. And here in this scripture, it is as a father speaking to his son. And so we can relate that with God speaking to his church. And this is what he says. He says, "My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, as sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell, lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life. Her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them." This chapter right here gives an illustration of a man and a woman having relations with each other. And it shows the dangers of having relations whenever it is outside the confinement of marriage. Whenever it is outside the confinement of marriage, we see the dangers. And so here, close to the end of the chapter, Solomon speaks about the marriage and how it is a blessing to both parties. It's a blessing to the man. It's a blessing to the woman, and are meant for the confinement of marriage only. It is when that those boundaries are stepped out of, that's when we step on dangerous ground. And so here, it is only when it is carried outside the confinement of marriage is when destruction comes. Now, follow with me in verse 3. I want to look at this part right here. He says, "For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil." The woman here is being described as here as a honeycomb. She is enticing with her looks. She is enticing with her actions. And the Bible goes on to say that her mouth is smoother than oil. She has all the right things to say to entice this man into her place. She has all the right tools set up. She has the right things to say. She has the right look. She has the right action. And she is trying to entice this young man into her place. And so here it says that her mouth is smooth as oil and she's like a honeycomb. Now understand, maybe many of you are, not that taken over a honeycomb. You know, maybe the NIV version would say it would be like a banana pudding, you know, just to, so to speak. I like banana pudding. I do. Man, I love me some pudding, don't you? Man, it's good stuff. In fact, my mother-in-law, which is actually here tonight, she makes the best banana pudding in the world. Boom, I'm scoring points for you, honey. Man, I'm not kidding. She knows how to do it up just right. Man, she makes that thing. You got to eat it right after it. It's so warm and tasting. Man, it just makes my mouth start watering. And so, you know, every time she starts to whip up the, you know, recipe, and my brother-in-law and my sister and everybody, they got to experience her for Labor Day. They got to experience her banana pudding. And as she's whipping that stuff up, man, my mouth, I'm drooling like a dog over there. I'm just, man, that stuff's looking good. You know, I'm getting hungry. You know when you get like that? You know, when you smell something real good and you're just hungry, man, it makes your mouth water. It's enticing to you. And so here, that's what this woman is like to this man. It's enticing to him, and she is trying to pull him in and try, and unknown to him, it begins to destroy his life. And so here, the woman being described here as a honeycomb, the Bible says that her mouth is smoother than oil. She says all the right things to draw him in, but in the end, it was bitter and poisonous to her life. Look with me. Says, "For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword." Unknown to this man right here is she is saying these enticing words to his life, and saying enticing words to pull him in. Unknown to him lies destruction on the other side of this intimacy. You know, it's pretty interesting how wolves are hunted by Eskimos. You may not know this, and me being the Animal Planet guy that I am, being the Steve Irwin Jr., you know, I just love watching Animal Planet, you know, big fan of it. You know, I love it, man. He was so excited. He's like, "Crikey, I've got the most poisonous snake in the world, right 2 inches from my head. And it bites me one time, and I'm dead in 10 seconds flat. Whoa!" You know, and he'll get all excited. You know, then his wife's over there, man, and she's 8 months pregnant. She's like, "Oh, Steve, give me that snake." You know, she's just as crazy as he is. It blows my mind. But here, it's interesting how wolves are hunted by Eskimos. And this is how they're hunted by Eskimos. What they will do to kill wolves is these Eskimos will literally stick a knife with animal's blood on it, and they will stick it into the snow and let it sit there, and wolves will be naturally attracted to that. Now get this. What happens is those wolves are attracted to that knife. They can smell the blood. They're attracted to that blood as they can smell the deer carcass, you know, blood on it. And as they move in, what they start to do is they start to lick it. They start to lick it and just lick that knife and try to lick off all the blood. And what happens is in the middle of licking that knife, the wolves begin cutting their mouth and slicing open their mouth and their tongue where it drives them more and more to keep on licking. And what will happen is they will lick so much that they will literally bleed to death. Now, isn't that amazing? how that does that is they are enticed by their own weakness. Enticed by their own weakness. And that's how me and you are sometimes. Whenever we are drawn away with words that are said to us, when we're drawn away with our eyes, we are enticed by our own weakness. And that's how we see this man right here. This man is enticed with the words of this woman, trying to pull him in to her place. And so this type of sin literally acts like a drug addict would to drugs. What happens to a drug addict is they become addicted to the drug. And what happens is, after a while, it becomes disappointing. And it becomes disappointing because they need more of the drug to keep the same intensity of their high. And over time, they become more and more easily susceptible to overdose and eventually death. That's what happens to me and you. We dabble in a little bit of sin. We are attracted to this a little bit of sin. We're attracted to pornography, and we think, oh, it's nothing wrong with looking, you know, just a little bit with the eyes. But as we are focused in on our own needs and our own weaknesses, we are drawn in, and a little bit more gets a little bit worse, and eventually, Satan has split your marriage apart. Satan has split your family wide open. You see, Satan doesn't come bombarding back at the doors. He doesn't come charging in with a full cavalry. He slips in just a little bit at a time, unnoticed, and before you know it, boom, destruction has happened in your family and happened in your life. Intimacy outside God's will is eventually disappointing. It may look good for the time being. It may sound good for the time being, but eventually intimacy outside of God's will is disappointing. But secondly, not only is intimacy outside of God's will eventually disappointing, but intimacy outside of God's will is gradually destructive. Gradually destructive. Now look with me over here in chapter 6, and look with me in verses 4 through 11. This is where we're going to be at. And verse 4 literally means, right here, look with me. It says, "Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids." We're just going to read through 11. It says, "Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways, and be wise. With which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man." Now here, this verse, look at verse 4 with me right quick. It says, "Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids." Now, verse 4 literally means not to sleep or become drowsy. Literally, not to become sleepy or drowsy in your walk, and we're talking about your walk with the Lord. Now, in verse 5, he goes on to say right here, "Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter." Now, this word roe right here refers to a gazelle buck. And what happens, if you notice, being, like I said, being the animal planet guy that I am, I enjoy it. If you notice what a gazelle buck does, in the dead heat of summertime, in the dry season, a gazelle buck will literally find a lake or find a pond. And what happens is that gazelle buck will stop there to lie down, to take a drink and take a sup of water, to try to give it some refreshment. And what happens is that gazelle buck gets a little bit lax. That gazelle buck gets a little bit drowsy and begins thinking about its own needs and forgets about the predator that is lurking close behind. And so literally, that's what Satan does with our lives. As we are trying to fill our own needs, just with whatever it may be, the devil, who is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, is lurking close behind, ready to strike in your marriage, ready to strike in your family, to tear your family apart. And before you know it, the devil's all over your back. And that's what happens with this gazelle buck. They become a little lazy, and before they know it, that lion has taken another life of a gazelle. And so that's what happens when intimacy outside of God's will, it's gradually destructive. That is what God is telling you to do. At the first sign of danger of falling into sin, He says, don't stick around, but run for your life. You see, the Word of God never commands us to hang around. Whenever sin is present, the Bible always speaks about the person that needs to be running. The child of God ought to run and never look back. That's what happened with Joseph and Potiphar's wife. Potiphar's wife took him by the cloak and he left it right in her hands and he took off running. He didn't stay behind 1 minute. He knew if he did, destruction was lying on the other side. And so that's what happens with our lives. When we wait behind, destruction lies on the other side ready to destroy our lives. You know, I don't know if you've ever heard the story of this, but just a little bit of application. You've heard Brother Dave, talk about this some, I'm sure. But here, if you ever had a frog, now we've got a ton of frogs down at our place just from our pond. And I know that you can take a frog, literally, and you can place it in boiling water. And what happens, as soon as you place that frog in boiling water, that frog will leap right out, jump right out. But if you take that frog and you just put it in a normal room temperature water, that frog will sit in there. If you turn that stove on and heat it just a little bit at a time, that frog doesn't even realize that it's being cooked from the inside out. Doesn't even realize it. Doesn't even realize because it is used to the temperature, it adjusts and everything. And I believe that's what happens in our lives today, that we are so fixated, bombarded with this world, so used around it that it doesn't even seem to bother us with what's on TV. It doesn't even seem to bother us the type of music that we listen to. It doesn't even seem to bother us the jokes and things that people say anymore. We've lost the blush in our lives. We've lost what's embarrassing in our lives. We've become used to our surroundings. That's one of the dangers, where the Satan has you exactly where he wants you, to get you to adjust to everything that's around you, and before you know it, you're being cooked from the inside out with sin. Verse 32 of this chapter goes on to say, But whosoever committeth adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He that doeth it destroys his own soul. Don't mess around with it. When it's present in your life, you take off running. Don't hang around it one moment. A life lived in intimacy outside of God's will is gradually destructs over time. But intimacy outside God's will is eventually disappointing. It is. You'll regret it. You'll live with a life full of regret. But intimacy outside of God's will is not only eventually disappointing. Intimacy outside of God's will is not only gradually destructive, but lastly here, intimacy outside of God's will is ultimately deadly. Ultimately deadly. Now throughout chapter 7, throughout these chapters, there is no doubt Solomon is speaking about a man and a woman flirting around with disaster. And now in this chapter, he gives the accounts of what happened. He gives the account of what happened. This man was actually walking past the house of this woman, of a harlot. And as he walks by, she catches his attention and she draws him into his house. This woman is married, but her husband is out of town for the time being. And while he is out of town, she becomes a totally different person, and therefore the young man slips into the evil intentions that she presented unto him. Now, I remember I used to be a fireman before I was called to preach and came on staff here with Parkway. I worked on an ambulance, and I had fought some fire and everything, got into the fire department, loved it, enjoyed it. Some of the, you know, best years of my life, man. I loved it. Just a lot of adrenaline, you know, rush and everything, and I like that sort of stuff. And I remember one particular fire that we were going on. It was right here in town. And I noticed as soon as the fire alarm came out, what happened was I began putting on my stuff. You put on your stuff right away. You don't wait till you get on scene or anything. You're already dressed and ready to go. And as I was putting my stuff on right there in the bay area and on the truck, I noticed that my Nomex hood was gone. And I always kept an extra one in my pocket, but my Nomex hood was gone. What that does is that covers your neck really good, and it allows you not to be, you know, helps with not to be burned. And so I got this other Nomex out of my pocket, and I began to put it on my head. And as I did, I noticed that it was just a little bit short. You know, my neck was exposed, you know, just a little bit. And man, as I got off that truck, man, I was on the nozzle, you know. And as a fireman, man, you want to be on that nozzle. That's the most fun, you know, part of, man, firefighting. It's just knocking down that fire. It's a lot of fun. And I remember as we, you know, bust down the door, and as we're going in there, I get on a right-hand wall, and as I'm crawling on my knees and everything, I see that fire rolling over the ceiling, and he's like, "Hit it, knock it down." And so I open that thing up and, you know, sprayed it, you know, real quick, and threw it back off. And as I did, that thermal layer of heat began to come down. And as it was coming down upon me, my neck was exposed, and I began to burn right there on my neck. My neck began to burn and everything. And as we tried to go farther into the house to try to knock down the fire and try to save this person's house, I began to spray again, and that stuff just come down on top of me. And I just grit my teeth so bad because it stung and it hurt so bad. And I ended up getting welts all over my neck. And we ended up having to back out of the house because the house was a loss and the fire was too intense. And the fire was way too intense, you know, for me. And what happened was I had the right gear, but I left some things just a little bit exposed to the elements around me. And it caused me to where I couldn't finish the job that I was trying to do. And here, this is what happens with our life. All it takes is just a little bit exposure of sin in your life, and that will keep you from accomplishing what God wants you to do in your life. It'll keep you every single time away from doing God's will in your life. All it takes is just a little bit of exposure. And so what you involve your life in, or what the devil throws at you, he knows exactly which way to come from, which angle to hit you from. And so that's what happens with our lives when you mess around with sin. You know, last story that I want to share with you is, you think about this. A person who is stranded out in the ocean, a person who is stranded out in the ocean that becomes very thirsty, the very worst thing for that person to do is to take a hand and to begin drinking that salt water. You see, the reason why is that salt water tells your kidneys it needs more water, and thus tells your brain that you're thirsty. And you began becoming more and more thirsty. Salt water can't fulfill the thirst your body needs. And as a person, you would die as a result of drinking that salt water. The very thing that you think is helping you is actually destroying your life. The very thing that you're around begins to destroy your life. The very sin that you involve your life around, maybe it's the people you hang around with. Maybe it's the places that you go. Maybe it's the conversations that you have. The very things that you involve your life around could very well be destroying the spiritual life that you have living inside of you. See, the body has a strong craving for sin. And the thing about this, guys, is It's no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter if you're an older person in here tonight. It doesn't matter if you're a young teenager tonight. It's no respecter of persons. We all struggle with this. And so here, we all have this, the body has a strong craving for sin. And when the body indulges in that, the result is always death. And God says, He says this, those who drink after me, the water that I give them, He says, will never thirst ever again. Will never need anything else in their life. And perhaps tonight you're here and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you're struggling in these areas. Maybe your marriage is on the rocks tonight. Maybe your family is on the verge of being destroyed by this subject of intimacy. One thing you ought to do, what God says, is you ought to come. Lay it down before God. Confess it before God tonight. And when you confess it, God is faithful. You say, well, Kyle, I don't think I can, you know, walk up in front of everybody. I don't think I can get up there. If I come down the altar, everybody is going to know. Do you really think that not the rest of us really struggle with this subject of intimacy? It's no respecter of persons. I struggle with it. You struggle with it. But when we are there for each other, when we have somebody that's praying for us, because the Bible says that Jesus has already prayed in your place. He knows what lies ahead in your future, therefore has already prayed for you. And so all you have to do is you come and confess it. God said that He would forgive you. And I'm not trying to drag up any, you know, past mistakes or anything. Lord knows my many mistakes that I've made. We're not trying to drag up any past mistakes. God forgive you those things. You don't have to confess it again. But all I'm saying is if there's unconfessed sin in your life tonight, God says to come make it right with me. He says the water that I can give you, oh, you'll never thirst again. He said the things that I can give you, you'll never desire and you'll always be satisfied with what I have to give you. That's why we need a Savior. Because God Himself knows that we are nothing but nasty and vile sinners. And we are in need of a loving and forgiving God. Jesus Christ is your answer. Your answer doesn't lie in the things of the world. Your answer lies in Jesus Christ alone. And when you place your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ alone, God said that He would never leave you and never forsake you. That He'll stick closer to you than a brother. Maybe that's you tonight. And as we get ready to pray, as God speaks to your heart tonight, would you come? Would you, if there's unconfessed sin in your life, would you be honest before God tonight and come? Because I tell you, intimacy outside God's will is ultimately deadly. Intimacy outside of God's will is eventually disappointing, and it's also gradually destructive. Amen. Let's pray.